I'm talking today about assessing the impacts that health impacts assessments have had in the United States. I've got not one, but two disclosure slides. That's the first one, and that's the second one. Health impact assessment, or HIA, is a process which aims to predict both positive and negative health effects of a proposal, including otherwise unanticipated effects. Its primary outcome is a set of recommendations to minimize negative outcomes, maximize positive outcomes, and reduce health inequities. The first known HIA conducted in the United States was completed in 1999, modeled after HIAs conducted in Europe. Since that time, there have been a small but growing number of U.S. HIA practitioners. Although no formal regulatory requirements have been in place, these practitioners have endeavored to implement HIAs to encourage health into the incorporation of projects, programs, and policies. The primary goal of an individual HIA is to increase consideration of health-related consequences in programs, policies, and projects. There are also secondary goals that both funders and practitioners have had in mind. These include gaining experience with conducting HIAs, growing the numbers of HIA practitioners, and beginning to develop HIA into a sustainable field. It's been almost 10 years since the first HIA was conducted in the U.S. Practices aren't standardized, and questions, including about the selection of methodology of HIA, have arisen. Given limited resources, is there a way of improving the selection of HIA? What are the characteristics of an HIA methodology that are most important? For example, would HIAs be more successful if they always included community involvement? To begin this analysis, we built on previous work which had identified 27 completed HIAs within the United States. We collected data from two sources. First, we obtained the written reports of all the HIAs that we could identify. This included the original 27, as well as additional HIAs that HIA practitioners and educators informed us of. Next, using a data collection form, we extracted information from the written reports. We then contacted practitioners and conducted interviews, usually by phone, but occasionally by email exchange, to obtain additional information about their HIA. Components of the data collection form included geographic setting, funding source, primary sector of interest, depth of the HIA, such as rapid, intermediate, or comprehensive, whether the HIA components, screening, scoping, risk assessment, recommendations, reporting, and evaluation were completed, and whether there was community participation, and whether that community had requested an HIA in the first place. And finally, whether decision makers supported the HIA. Reports were reviewed by two persons. Practitioners were queried after data was first extracted from the written report. They verified the information from the written report, and additionally, through a series of questions about the decision maker's response and whether the decision was modified, practitioners were queried as to their impression of the effect of the HIA. Without evaluation of each HIA, the interpretation of the HIA's effect was the only readily obtainable measure of the effect. We based our categories of HIA effectiveness on a framework established by WISMAR. This 2x2 table illustrates that framework. There are two fundamental questions. First, were decisions modified due to the HIA? And second, were the health issues adequately acknowledged? If decisions were modified and decision makers acknowledged the issue, then the HIA was classified as directly effective. If decision makers acknowledged the health issues but no decision changes were made, then that HIA was classified as having general effectiveness. If decisions were made that were consistent with the HIA but decision makers did not acknowledge or consider the health issues, the HIA was classified as having opportunistic effectiveness, and finally, if the HIA was completely ignored, it was classified as having no effectiveness. In addition to characterizing by effectiveness, we also rated HIAs by the strength of their effectiveness. We classified an HIA as having a strong direct effect if the practitioner was confident that the HIAs had a substantial effect on the decision-making process, and the practitioner could describe that process that led to the effect. We classified an HIA as a strong general effectiveness if the practitioner could identify ways that decision makers either accommodated the HIA in the decision making process to hear HIA input, or how a specific decision maker championed the HIA's recommendations. We obtained written material on 31 HIAs. We were able to obtain interviews from 10 practitioners representing 20 completed HIAs. The following results focus on those 20 interviews. The 20 study HAAs were completed between 1999 and 2008. Breaking them down by unit of analysis, 12 were associated with a project, 7 with a policy, 1 with a program. In terms of geographic scale, 12 included a subsection of a city, 6 a metropolitan area or a region or a state, and 2 were statewide. Although there's no standard definition for HIA depth, we classified 9 as rapid HIAs, 3 as intermediate, 8 as comprehensive. Most often, HIAs were timed to be completed prior to the decision-making process. 13 in this case were completed prior to the decision, 3 during the decision, and 4 after the decision was made. Of these 4 that were completed after the decision, 2 were not intended to be timely in the first place. 7 of the HIAs were primarily concerned with housing sector, 7 with land use, 3 with transportation, 2 with energy, and 1 with employment. We classified 12 HIAs as having direct effectiveness, 7 with general effectiveness, and 1 with opportunistic effectiveness. No HIAs that we reviewed had no effectiveness. Based on a review of the written reports, it's possible that some HIAs may have been classified as having no effectiveness, but we've not been able to confirm this with the practitioner. This is a table showing selected characteristics of the HIAs reviewed and the number and percentage of the HIAs with these characteristics. Of the HIAs that we reviewed, decision makers were supportive of the process in 9 HIAs. The community requested an HIA in 5 cases, and in 14 HIAs, the community was involved with the development of the HIA. Vulnerable populations were addressed by 18 HIAs. New data, beyond that readily obtained during a community participatory process, was obtained in 2 HIAs, and 8 attempted to quantify at least one of their studied health impacts. This table separates the characteristics by effectiveness type. While the number of HIAs are small, particularly for the opportunistic HIAs, some comparisons are worth noting. Decision-maker support was common among directly effective HIAs compared to the generally effective HIAs, and community involvement was also higher among directly effective HIAs. This table shows a number of reviewed HIAs by depth and effectiveness. We did not identify any visible trends. This table looks only at HIAs that we classified as having direct effectiveness and separates those on whether we classified them as having strong or weak direct effectiveness. All HIAs having strong direct effectiveness included community involvement. Quantification of the health effect did not appear to influence having a direct effect. This is a similar table looking at HIAs having classified as having general effectiveness, broken down by whether we classified them as strong or weak. While the small numbers make it impossible to substantiate trends, all HIAs with strong general effectiveness were requested by the community. In summary, while the small numbers of reviewed HIAs make it difficult to establish trends, it appears that community involvement is a common characteristic of HIAs that we classified as having a strong effect, whether general or direct. Additionally, decision-maker support was common among directly effective HIAs. No HIAs that we reviewed included or completed a formal evaluation process. As we think about HIA effectiveness and defining what leads to a successful HIA, it's important to establish that there can be multiple routes for success. One route is the primary goal of the HIA that can be realized, and the project, policy, or program can be modified to improve health. Second, HIAs, if they educate decision makers, might be successful in causing health improvement changes in subsequent decisions, even without a change in the current decision. These first two routes align with the measures of direct and general effectiveness. However, some other routes of possible success may not fit as well. HIAs can end up creating more demand for subsequent HIAs by demonstrating the benefit of HIAs or increasing the supply of HIA practitioners by serving as a learning tool. Finally, an HIA can expand the field of HIA by considering a project, program, or policy in a new sector, conducting a comprehensive review, and establishing itself as a virtual template for future HIAs in that sector. Overall, through multiple possible routes, conducting an HIA seems to elevate health. There are several limitations with this study. Our measure of effectiveness was based solely on self-report from practitioners. There's a possibility that they may either be self-promoting or they may not realize the effect that their HIA has had. Second, there are few HIA practitioners in the United States from which we are drawing our data. Third, the written reports of the HAAs varied in scope and content, potentially causing the reviewers to miss characteristics in the smaller scale reports. And additionally, the characteristics were based on the interpretation of two reviewers, and established definitions of HIA characteristics are lacking, potentially leading to misclassification. Our next steps for this project include continuing to identify HIAs and interviewing practitioners. So if you're one in the audience, please come up and see us. We also hope to gain a better understanding of our effectiveness measure by interviewing other involved decision makers to see if their interpretation of effectiveness remains consistent. I'd like to thank the following people. Thanks.
So we have time for a few questions or comments specifically on this presentation. So if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, please raise your hand. I'm going to let you call on something.
I'm just wondering if you would be interested about HIA practitioners in Canada as well, or are you just in the United States?
I think we can learn a lot from the international sector and HIAs, because there's been other countries, continents, that have developed it further. And if we're looking to seek out development of HIAs within the United States, looking at those models and seeing how it's gone so far in other countries, would be beneficial. Oh, sorry, I couldn't see.
Is publication pending?
I think we need to continue to get more data from our practitioners and then work towards that.
You said the support of policymakers was one of the key factors. Can you just describe what that means exactly? Was that they were involved in getting the department
involved in
doing the HIA?
Yeah, I mean, in support of the decision-making process. It's it's whether or not the decision makers wanted the HIA conducted in the first place. So sometimes there's decision makers that are supportive of the HIA process, want it to be conducted, and looking at it and thinking that they might make changes upon that. In other cases, it's not done with their support. And I think it makes a big difference if you're looking at trying to use the limited resources of HIAs that we have in order to work with your decision makers in order to make sure that they would want to use that. Pardon? We tried to include. Did you mention the question was, did I look at inclusion or exclusion criteria? We included all the HIAs that we could get our hands on.
So what was your start?
Well, it started based on, we collected in previous work 27 HIAs that have been conducted in the United States. That led us to a network of HIA practitioners. We were able to obtain about four additional written reports at the time that this was developed. We've past couple weeks we've gotten a few more, up to 39. And then the inclusion criteria for the presentation was whether we'd been able to interview the practitioner by this time.
Okay, we have three more hands. So we'll, this person, and then back there, and then we'll need to wrap it up. Please be succinct with your questions, as people have been.
Health impact assessments and HARO within work and health and so for new greenfield development, the ones that you looked at, were they both for infill and for greenfield new development as well?
Could you repeat that?
The question was whether the health impact assessments were looking at new infill development or if they looked at greenfield development as well. The health impact assessments that we looked at looked even beyond that's included in the built environment. There's some policy ones as well. I'm trying to think of whether, I can't think of any specific ones that dealt with greenfield for the built environment type. Yeah. Yeah, it's all existing.
Or policies.
Okay, we have two more questions.
Could you give an example of a modified decision?
Sure.
Hard question.
Yeah, modified decision. So for example, their redevelopment of a transportation area, and they included walking and bike paths, some hotscotch patterns on the sidewalk, so people could have physical activity.